as we may be, help. I'll try and speak a little word you'll find in John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We have this wonderful verse, sacred and blessed doctrine. We have that assurance that all that have been given to the Lord Jesus shall ultimately come to him. And that remarkable, wonderful, encouraging promise, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not on any account will the Lord cast out one who comes rightly to him. We see in this verse that people have been given to the Lord Jesus. They were chosen in Christ Jesus for the foundation of the world. And in that wonderful chapter, the 17th, in this gospel, Jesus prays for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. See, had there been no election, no gracious choice of some poor sinners by God the Father, no sinners would have got to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ would not have come, but there was a people chosen in Jesus, not a few, a number which no man can number, out of every kindred, tribe, and tongue. They were given to Jesus for the foundation of the world, and he accepted them. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and I've lost none but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I believe this gracious doctrine is rightly preached by the help of the Holy Spirit in the fear of God. It encourages poor sinners to come to Jesus. It encourages them to pray, seeing there has been a number given to Jesus, and that every one of them was lost in the fall and completely ruined. And those who are now safe in Emmanuel's land, they were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but God manifested mercy and love towards them. And so the poor cast down dejected sinner, says, saying, some have been chosen, and they come to Jesus. Why not me? Grace is free, blessedly free, why not me? So instead of dejecting a seeking sinner, this sacred doctrine wonderfully encourages him. Now, the all-important thing is to prove our election is coming to the dear Lord Jesus. The most vital, the most important thing in religion is to come to Jesus, is to know Jesus, to love him, and to worship him. And those who do love him, and who do worship him, they have the witness of the Holy Spirit that they are one of God's chosen sheep. But I was thinking, how do these people come? They all come rightly, who come to Jesus. It didn't matter when the dear Lord was on earth, however bad they were, however leprous they were, wherever sinful they had been. They came rightly to the dear Lord Jesus, and he never cast them out. He never said to one, you're too bad for me to save, too bad for me to help. No, he helped them, and he blessed them, and he granted to them their request. There were those who didn't come to him. I mean in faith, they didn't love him. There wasn't anything in him or in his gospel that they really felt to need. Rather, they hated him. They reviled him. They set him at naught. He said, ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. You don't want me. You don't desire me. What solemn words. How different with one enlightened and taught by the Holy Spirit. But I said, how do they come? I believe it's Jeremiah who tells us how they come. And the Holy Spirit through that prophet says, and they shall come, every one of them, with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. We find these two marks in our hearts, in our experiences. Perhaps we haven't got to Jesus. We haven't got from Jesus what we desire. But are you coming? Coming up from the wilderness? Have you got a secret religion? Do you sometimes have to mourn over your sins? Afraid they'll break out, be your eternal ruin. Good thing to be a mourner, true mourner. first words Jesus said when he commenced preaching, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." We sometimes sing, "Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. Mercy, to be a mourner over our sins, our heart sins." St. Peter, so far satisfied, the outside be kept clean, but not so with God's people. They mourn the defilement within. So long as the outside is pretty clean, do a few good works, they think, and they consider themselves on the high road to heaven. Sad and solemn to be deceived. Terribly solemn. But to mourn over sin, I think it not necessary. How different. Where one has been born again, I venture to say, secretly, as a daily, it may be sometimes an hourly, mourning over sin. But then they come, supplicating the dear Lord Jesus. Some mercy if in our prayers we ask for something. Some people tell the Lord a mighty lot. He, which he knows, those who come rightly to the dear Lord Jesus, they ask for something. They beg for something. Something they need, which can only come from the dear Lord himself. I like to go to a prayer meeting where there is real supplication. I'm sure it's the Holy Spirit who puts real supplication in a sinner's heart. And so this is the way poor sinners come to Jesus. They did when he was here on earth. The woman in Simon's house, she washed his feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hairs of her head. There's something more than that outward shine. The dear woman felt these things deep down in her heart. So she came to Jesus. Some tried other means. Those means proved worthless. One spent all that she had and grew rather worse and better. But in the end, she did come to Jesus. And those who come supplicating his aid, come in faith. I was thinking yesterday, what an all-important thing it is to believe. Not just to credit what the scripture says, but to really believe. I don't know of anything harder for a poor sinner to do than this. Naturally, it's an impossibility with a heart of unbelief. And yet, the word comes home, only believe. O could I but believe, then all would easy be, my dear friends. It's hard work to believe that such sinners as we are amongst those whom God has chosen as the election of grace, the only ground upon which I can find comfort is this: they were all sinners. None were better than others. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, everyone. And so I have to come, a poor, lost, unworthy, wretched sinner. How do you come? You read one good man, he said, in coming, who am but dust and ashes. He felt it. Abram felt how unworthy he was. Jacob, in begging for a blessing and for help in a time of need, he said, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, the least. Godly, gracious men, they're in heaven, but that's how they did come. Another, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eyes seeth thee, wherefore I repent in dust and ashes. Safe place, you know. Sure ground is. Good Job confessed, behold, I am vile to you. My dear friends, there'll be no Pharisees get to heaven as such. There'll be none get to heaven on what they term their good works, because they haven't got any. No. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So there is a coming to the dear Lord Jesus. Blessed coming. Wonderful coming. Most blessed is this, when the Father who sent Jesus draws a sinner to Jesus. Wonderful. Look back tonight and to feel you've been drawn to him. No one else could do you any good. No one else could relieve you. No one else could help you. Needs omnipotence to pardon sin. Not some poor Romish priest. No. That's what they come for. With all their sins, seeking that the dear Lord will pardon them. Do you feel tonight you need pardon? Oh, if I could but lose my burden, one may say, I could be assured that Jesus' precious blood was shed for the remission of my sins. You say none would be more happy. The world could have its own if I could but know that Jesus died for me in my place instead. They come to him for righteousness. Shan't get to heaven without it. Without Christ's righteousness, impossible. We certainly haven't got any of our own, have we? The Lord will bring you and bring me, and I believe he brought me there last January to renounce everything in my religious life, my preaching, my prayers, my profession, seeing nothing in the Lord. Everything might have been wrong. Plenty of people preach and preach the truth who've never got to heaven. Not a people pray who've never prayed from their heart. Plenty of people made a profession but only to be something. Oh, it is painful work to lose everything. Poor sinner doesn't know what to do. Wonder what the end of these things will be. At the end it'll be all right. It will. Whilst we can call one might our own, we can have no full discharge. That's where we must be brought penniless, hopeless, in and of ourselves. But oh, how wonderful to come to Jesus and for him to put that best robe on you. Let him be clothed with change of raiment. There's poor Joshua in a sad state, wasn't he? He was. But the Lord had mercy upon him. He has had mercy upon some of you, I hope. Take his filthy garments from him. The Lord won't put his righteousness over your filthy garments nor mine. Yet we're loath to part with them. But the Holy Spirit strips us of everything of our own. We come by this afternoon near where old John Berridge used to preach. And he tells us, I think, in one of his hymns or in his writings, how the Lord stripped him, didn't leave him with anything. But led him by faith to the finished work of Jesus. Now that's what these poor things come for. The pardon of their sins through Jesus' precious blood. They come to him for his righteousness. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Clothe me, oh, I'm lost. But dear Lord Jesus, you know, in that solemn parable, pointed out one who got into the marriage supper, having on no wedding garment. One said to him, friend, how comest thou in hither, having on no wedding garment? And he was speechless. And he was thrown out. Now God to the appeal believe these things through grace, and thus they come to Jesus. It's a good word, you know. This is the name wherewith he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's his name. And that suits these coming sinners. But the wonder of wonders is, as the Lord speaks of his church, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness, or the oneness. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall believe. We may tonight have to say with one, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When I was younger, ministers used to talk a lot about unbelief in my boyhood days, and they mystified me. I often wondered whatever they were talking about. I don't wonder now. Sad, sad to say, solemn to say, painfully I know it. One of our worst enemies. Oh, it is. But it'll try God's dear people more or less, long as they live. So, this coming to Jesus is by precious faith, this believing in him is by precious faith. What relief it brings. When one is enabled to believe, puts everything right, makes heaven sure for that sinner, takes the sting out of death for them, they could die, while so near to the Lamb, and believing in him, the tongue of mortals cannot explain what this believing is. I think it was good Philpott somewhere said, a revelation of Christ is something that is to be believed, that can never be explained. Sure, that's right. So, it's a mercy to be able to look back and feel. Been a few times when you really believed. But, are we rid of unbelief? Are we rid of trouble? When we thus believe, we shall soon find we're not. And it may be with some who are older tonight, you feel how hard it is to believe. I might go a little further and say, impossible to believe without the Holy Spirit's gracious help. It is. Thus, as we journey on, we want to come again and again to this blessed Jesus, something we need, something that may try us, something the devil may try us about. We're afraid we may come short in something, and thus is a coming to the dear Lord Jesus as a need be for our coming to him. I think it was John Calvin on his dying bed. He asked the Lord to forgive all his sins. Spent his last hours in prayer. I don't think there was ever a man since the apostles so used of God. One who honored the truth and contended for the truth like John Calvin did. But there was a need to be for him to come to Jesus again and again. I wouldn't give much for that person's religion. He said, well, they were blessed 20 or 30 years ago and don't want anything new. I'm afraid such are deceived by Satan. Don't you have to go to the Lord when hard pressed by Satan, when He tries you, tempts you, harasses you. Nowhere else to go. In this chapter, Simon Peter answered Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? As the words of eternal life, we believe and assure thou art that Christ, Son of the living God. Wonderful testimony that it was. And then there is a promise, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What an encouraging word. I don't know whether I've got a poor outcast here tonight. I don't know whether I've got one who nearly didn't come. Perhaps felt, well, it's no good my going. I've gone and gone and prayed and prayed. But I haven't got what my soul longs for, well that may be. But you think of this wonderful promise that fell from the lips of Jesus himself, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Most wonderful promise. I thought during the day, an encouraging promise for some poor, hopeless, helpless, lost, defiled sinner. Venture on him, venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude, none but Jesus. Can do helpless sinners good. Sure, that's right. But there's a promise. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't know whether I may have told you before, but I was reading some time back of a good, godly old Scotch minister. And he thought he was on his dying bed, and he saw a number going to heaven, the patriarchs and the apostles and others, but he felt no, couldn't go with them. And he saw one coming along by himself, and his name was Manasseh. And he thought, I can go with him. Yes, he could go with him. Well, these, they are not cast out. Manasseh was not cast out. David fell, but the Lord chastised him. But he didn't cast him out. No. May the Lord help you, help me to come to him and to plead such a promise as this, bringing to our minds, or rather to our hearts, how the Lord in his love and mercy looked upon poor sinners. I like to read those Gospels and to meditate upon them, even those that were devil possessed. You may feel sometimes almost devil possessed. What can you do then when it seems that Satan will do his worst unto you? Only one thing. Come to Jesus. He casts the devil. That who obeys his voice, I suppose it would amaze us if we knew Those who love the Lord and crave to see trouble tonight, the things they have to come to Jesus for, their many trials, inward, outward, in the home, out of the home, their very souls. Well, my friend, there's nothing too great to take to Jesus, and there's nothing too small to take to him. We read in the 55th Psalm, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thus, when you are burdened, when you are tried, and you feel no one has walked the path you walk, you feel yourself to be a nondescript, never mind. The text still stands. Whatever you and I may feel, the truth of it is sweetly, simply set forth, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's the Father's will that sinners should believe on his dear Son. I believe it gives that great God joy and pleasure in heaven when sinners believe on his dear Son and receive his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord would help us more and more to believe. Be a mercy when we come to our journey's end to be a believer. Well, Peter said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. One of the marks, one of the evidences of believing, dear Lord Jesus, precious, of great worth to these sinners. He is to them the one thing needful, is he to you? Newton said, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It sounded sweet in your ear. Soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, drives away his fear. Why this believing upon Jesus puts you upon the rock, upon that shore and safe foundation? It is a wonderful thing, wonderful blessing, to be able to believe. If you can always believe, you have never believed. No, I'm no advocate for unbelief, but a religion that isn't tried by Satan isn't worth having. No, sure it isn't. He leaves thousands of professors alone. Mercy if he don't leave you alone, me alone, really, isn't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Well, that's the gospel, the precious gospel. Gospel of the grace of God. May the Lord bless it to us. Amen.